22 slasher radio.
Matthew, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a pretty good day. It's busy, but I mean that's life.
Yes, so, yeah. Busy is good.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about today?
Everything.
Sure.
Since the last time we talked, you guys have the amount of stuff you guys have put out is insane.
I don't remember when did we speak last.
Holy crap. Allie, when did we speak? My memory's awful.
Right,
I think it was
Nick Cage right before.
Yeah, okay. Thanksgiving
which was kind of a big deal.
Yeah. A lot. But since then, before any of that, actually, since we last talked, you guys launched a podcast called Crafting the Imaginary into Play.
Yeah. So Crafting the Imaginary into Play is sort of behavior's motto, I guess. Ode can tell me if it's official, but I guess it's something that as a studio.
Correct.
It is the official motto of the studio as a whole. So nice. For those of you who don't know, there's sort of three business units in behavior. There's a business unit called Behavior Digital, which is where we make our own games. This is where we invest money into creating brand new IPs like Dead by Daylight, for instance, Meet Your Maker, Islands of Insight. All of these games come from the Behavior Digital division. Then you have a division called Behavior Studios, which is where we do work for hire. This has been the backbone of the company for the last 30 years. It's our bread and butter. It's how we built our reputation amongst developers and licensors and all of this for the last 30 years. And it's a division that is still doing quite a lot of business. And then there's a third one that's sort of small and weird in a good way. Ode doesn't like when I use the word weird, but I like weird. but it's called Business Solutions, and that's where we apply what we've learned making games and the tools that we developed. We apply those to things that are outside of the video game industry. For instance, we've done things to help redesign Bombardier's custom plane interface and things like that. Like all these things that we can do easily in video games that we learned to do in video games that we now apply to business problems. Therefore, we provide business solutions, hence the name. So, yes, all of these divisions come under the umbrella of behavior, and all of these sort of live by the creed of crafting the imaginary. And so that podcast is actually something from behavior as a whole. It's our internal communications department that decided to do this. And there's been a couple of episodes so far. I was happy to be a part of one of those. And I actually had a great time just chatting with the team there and about sort of rambling about this and that. It was super fun.
Nice. Yeah. And are you guys going to, is that something you're planning to continue? I've seen seasons involved because I enjoyed it very much.
Of course. Yeah. So there will be more episodes. I think there's already a second, maybe even a third now. It's something that's going to be ongoing, and I think it's a great way for people to get a bit of a peek behind the curtain, right? How we make those things and how we go about and what sort of business is the video game development business.
Absolutely.
So the community has been asking for different game modes for so long, and we finally got that with the Lights Out modifier, which just added a whole new play style to the game versus normal gameplay. What was the feedback like for you guys?
Honestly, I thought it would be a little more intense as a reaction. Like, people loved it. Don't get me wrong. People really loved it. It was played quite extensively for a while. But then people went back after, I think, the two-thirds of the period we had it for. People went back to playing the main game mode, which, I mean, shouldn't be surprising. This is the core gameplay. It's fun. This is what people like. They like to have access to everything that they've learned to strategize with But I really liked the Lights Out game mode. That being said, it's not the last time you'll see it, but it is also the very first of many. There's been quite a lot of really interesting ideas that have been discussed and tested internally. So there will be more modifiers and game modes that are going to be released in the next few months, I want to say.
Okay, you kind of stole, that is great to hear. You kind of stole my next question, though. A lot of people, especially, you know, the real players, everyone who digs into the game, a lot of people have been calling it kind of a test, an experiment.
Well, a little bit. You know, one of the things, like I remember when we were talking about this, like 6 years ago, when we had a much smaller player base back then. But one of the questions we had was, like, should we create different game modes with a different, like, a play button? And we were always very wary of sort of separating the community and therefore sort of the wait times and the matchmaking and all these things. Mm-hmm. For us, it was always very critical that when you click that play button, you're in a game as quickly as possible. And by breaking the community into different parts, you obviously add a little bit of complexity to the matchmaking. So yeah, this was a test in many ways. First of all, because of that, like I said, just breaking up the community and offering you different ways to play the game. I think that on that side, the test was very conclusive and very positive. It didn't really matter in the sense that it didn't have a negative impact on the experience of people not just wanting to play the main game. But at the same time, it was still easy to get into a game in the Lights Out mode. So there's enough people playing the game that it's a totally valid way of presenting an alternative to people. And the second thing is, yeah, we wanted to know if people are interested in slightly different mm-hmm. ways of playing the game or very significant ways that are different of playing the game. And I think that on that also, it's very conclusive. Like, people are interested in seeing what else we've got, what else we can bring to shake things up a little.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, sometimes you have a few bad matches or something and you still want to play Dead by Daylight. No. And there's just another option to enjoy it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because that's part of the strength of this game, right? Is sometimes it can be very frustrating because mm-hmm. there's variety, because every match is different. And because mm-hmm. of that, it means that, like any statistical thing, sometimes you're at the end of the bell curve where things are weird or not as pleasant. In the same way that sometimes you'll have a match that's absolutely perfect and then some really crazy things happen and it's unique and it's awesome, right? So it's the sort of price you pay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next thing I wanted to bring up was Iron Maiden. I want to thank you for the nightmares I've been having from the Dredge skin. Thank you very much for that.
Like, seriously, we've done some cool things over the years, but the Dredge skin for Iron Maiden is just
that is a next level skin.
I think the technical term is fucking awesome.
Yes, yes, that is correct. But
the rest are also very cool. The rest of the skins are really cool. And on a very personal note, working with Iron Maiden on something like that has been, it's a check mark in the bucket list. That's just crazy, right?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask you. How much impact did they have, if any, on the design of these skins? What was it like working with them on the process?
Well, to be fully transparent, I didn't talk to any of the members of the band directly. I wish I had, but I did not. We talked to their team and their team relays the information. Mm-hmm. But the awesome thing is these people, the people managing the Iron Maiden brand, I've been doing this for a long time. A lot of the people on that team have been there for a decade, if not more. And they are awesome. They understood exactly what we were trying to do. They were open to it. They had some great insights, some great inspiration. It was super fun. Like, these are the kind of partners that are one in a million. They're so great to work with. Just the fact that, for instance, you can now buy that shirt that we created for the survivors, you can buy it You can not just buy it in our store. You can buy it on the official Iron Maiden store, right?
Oh,
that's yeah. cool. Like, it's the same shirt. It doesn't matter where you buy it in the end. But the fact right. that they were like, yeah, yeah, of course. If we're doing merch, we know how to do merch. We've been doing merch forever. Let's do a great shirt. We'll put it. It's another tour that Eddie has been on, right? All of these things. It was just awesome to work with.
I don't want to jump around too much. I meant to bring sure. this up later, but it's perfect. I the term fuck it.
Yeah.
You guys' shop. I was actually talking with a mutual friend, Polyester. Oh, and yeah. we were talking about how underrated your shop is. And we think this is kind of a good stepping stone because of the, you know, collaboration and everything. I mean, you guys could do so much, and I don't think people really see it enough. What does this say for future merchandise? Can this expand on what you guys are doing there? Because it's great.
We'd love to. I mean, doing stuff with licensors. We've done that with Sadako also, with the people at Kadokawa.
Yes.
And it's usually a little delicate. It's a little difficult because we're mixing licenses and merch deals are separate from it gets right. a little complicated sometimes. But when we do it, it's really, really cool. And as far as our shop for our own stuff is concerned, we love taking risks. We love doing some fun things and just having some just beautiful merch, but also like we did the body pillows for Hooked on You. And once in a while, we try to do something that's a little weirder because we like it.
Right.
But Behavior is not a company that has been making merch. So it's not something that we're extremely savvy on, and like we've built experience over the last few years. We've tried a few different companies, like agencies that manage your merch for you and manage the relationships over there, but we've never found one that really got us and our tone and what we wanted. So we decided to do it internally instead, and it's a lot of work, and also it means that there's a few things that we won't do because for instance, we don't have a warehouse where we keep inventory.
Right.
So there's a few different, we work within limitations with the merch,
yeah.
but because we do it internally and we own it, it means that we can do some crazy things once in a while.
Yeah. We've gone, even personally with us, we've gone through three different merch. It is a nightmare. Like, and I don't think people understand that.
That's tough. I agree.
It is. Slipknot, though, is the next thing. I know, obviously, that's not out yet. You can't go in depth with it. But just generally, can we expect the same thing? Are you guys looking to go further? What can we expect from that collaboration?
There's very little I can.
Right.
Well, no, it's not true. I could say quite a lot. I'm not going to. It's going to be different. Because they're different bands, cool. because it's a different relationship, because it's also a very different image. But for us, like the idea of bringing in the world of metal into Dead by Daylight has been a long time project. And I mean, it goes back to me. Like I don't wear it today, but I often wear my Brutal Legend shirt. Like the world of metal and the world of horror and video games has been sort of meshed for a long time. And I think that it was like, if we pride ourselves on being the Hall of Fame of Horror and being a museum dedicated to horror, we needed to have a wing of that museum that is dedicated to metal, right? Because the imagery and the iconography and all of this is so very close and overlaps in so many places. So bringing in Iron Maiden and Slipknot was great for us. We wanted to start with a big bang. Iron Maiden is not only gigantic, but it is legendary, right? No matter how you measure this, it's the biggest thing out there. So very likely Slipknot is not the last one either, but it's a good mix because it's one of those bands that are immediately recognizable. Even if you don't know the music, they have worked very hard in creating an imagery that fits with it.
Yeah. And the music goes great. It fits perfectly. The music in that waiting lobby, it's a great match, and it was genius from both ends to do it. Absolutely. Allie, are you? Did Allie fall asleep again?
Maybe, oh, no.
I
don't know.
I told her to drink an energy drink before the last after the last ordeal.
One more question about the Iron Maiden collaboration. Sure. We've seen a lot of questions from the community about a possible cutoff date to buy those Iron Maiden cosmetics. Is there one set, or will they be available indefinitely?
We have not announced a limited time offer. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah. There's perfect. No limit right now to, I mean, it's like every license. All of these have durations. Right. Very few people are willing to sign a forever license. But that's not the plan.
Okay. Awesome. You guys had another gaming collaboration with your last big release with putting Alan Wake into the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, it's Silent Hill was obviously awesome and Resident Evil 2, but Alan Wake in terms of theme and narrative, it is probably the closest thing to the universe of Dead by Daylight. So it was sort of an easy easy decision on both sides, right? We just looked at it and went, yeah, I mean, Alan Wake could have written something very similar. Also, he is sort of plagued by a dark entity. Therefore, like it's all very, very, very close. So it was a perfect fit. And the fact that it's, I mean, Alan Wake 2 that just came out, it was just finished in my house, let's say. It's such an achievement. Like, that game is so wonderful. And so it was great to be able to bring that character in that has been an inspiration, because obviously Alan Wake's been there forever. Bring him and his flashlight into our game. It's just, it was awesome.
A single player massive game icon like Alan Wake has a flashlight. Imagine. Perfect.
It was.
I just had a quick question on that too, and it's a little bit of a sidebar with it. Games versus movies. You guys obviously have, you know, collaborated with both, and you mentioned Resident Evil and all kinds of other things. I'm sure they both present their challenges and their benefits. What do you have most fun with personally?
For me, and because my direct involvement in these things tends to be not in the nitty-gritty of the daily production. Like, I'm there on the partnership side. I'm there on the, like, establishing what the content should be about and how we actually work together on things. So for me, like you said, they're very different beasts. The advantages of games is that people understand exactly the language this speak, and not just the language, but the fact that when you make video games, you have different, I often use the image, like, we have a different set of brushes and paints that we use to create whatever art, right? And so video games is a different medium to books, to TV, to movies. And therefore, when we try to create things in video games, sometimes it's harder to explain to someone who spent their life creating movies what it is that we're going to do and how we're going to paint their IP in a new medium. That's right. Not a problem with video game, which is great. It also comes with the added difficulty of, they may have expectations, a very precise expectation in the visual language that we're going to use in the, some of the power sets sometimes, and the design mechanics that don't fit with what they've set up as an IP. So they're usually a lot more involved in the design and the actual mechanics rather than just on the visual. So there's good things and bad things on both sides. To me, it really comes down to, ideally, working with someone who owns the entirety of their brand directly. Like, for instance, we talked to the people at Remedy for Alan Wake. They own their thing. They wrote the story. They can decide what is canon, what isn't. They can change things. They can explain why things, as opposed to, in some instances, we deal with someone who manages a catalog of licenses for old movies. And then we talk to them, and not only do they not necessarily understand video games, but even the IP that they represent, they might not have all the versions of it. They might not know the IP personally because they manage a catalog, right? So it sometimes adds a layer. So people that we've worked with who own their thing from start to finish also who are very interested in it. Kadokawa is a good example with Sadako, which allowed us to create a version of their character that is older, right? A version of their character that is, because we didn't want to have a kid, but Yoichi is the actual survivor in the canon of the ring, is the only person who ever survived the curse, and therefore is that child. So creating an aged version of him so we could have him as a survivor in Dead by Daylight was something that we worked very closely in collaboration with them. And it is now canon in the world of the ring, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is what I want to talk about here.
Go ahead.
The new chapter, All Things Wicked. I would like to start with all the teasers you guys put out, because I've never seen, especially a game, I mean, this was movie level that you guys put out here, and I was hooked immediately.
I will certainly pass those comments to our brand and marketing team, who worked really hard to make that happen.
I can tell.
It was fun. That was
literally my question. How much fun did you have doing that?
I'd say, like, for the people directly involved in creating all those assets, creating that whole idea of that campaign, it's very much inspired by the, like, Blair Witch Project and all this found footage thing and that kind of cinema. It was a dream for them, and it was a blast because it's super fun and you get immediate intense reaction from the public, which is what you always aim to get, right? But these things were, like, I mean, we saw the numbers in terms of, like, interactions and viewership. This was one of our most successful campaigns for sure.
I've never seen screenshots of text messages trend on Twitter before. It was great. Yeah, and that's the fun of it.
You know, catching the YouTube channel that goes live at midnight with just a video that's unexplained, and then the live feed just stops, and all these little details. You talk about polyester. I love when he puts on his tinfoil hat and goes on these crazy, like, theories of what the next thing could be, and feeding that crazy is so much fun.
And that's the, you know, there's people who just want to get on and play the game and see the DLCs, and that's great too. But to be able to interact and have that other world of guessing, and then you open the community up to talking with each other, it was so much fun. From the text messages to the security camera, you guys really created its own little world there. And it was funny because I was talking, Allie and I, with a few of our friends, you know, just talking about Dead by Daylight and the what ifs. And I said, man, it would be cool as hell to have, like, a Blair Witch Project thing going on. And I have no idea how they would do it, but I just want it. And then a few weeks later, this came out and I was like, holy shit, wait a minute. But that was kind of what I was going with. That found footage feel, you guys nailed it.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I'm glad to hear that it was as appreciated from the outside as it was from that's it exactly. But no, I mean it was fun. And there's some of these tropes in horror. I mean, most of horror is made out of these really interesting tropes. Some are, like, I'd like to say, like, some of them are past their due, and that's okay for us to move forward. And some of them were linked to things that our culture is thankfully left behind. But a lot of them also had to do with these kind of things, which are super fun to play in. Even though they're expected, they still manage to take people by surprise, which is great. Now, I like that we were talking about Alan Wake and you just skipped. You blasted by the details of Alien and Chucky, which are just, you know, almost.
Well, we talked about that last time. I mean, I'll talk about that Alien and Chucky release. I've gone on rants and about, I mean, just true to form. And this is the beauty of Dead by Daylight to me. Like, bare bones, my favorite thing is the capturing of, you know, you don't just throw it in there and leave it as is. And you know, the way you guys have been able to expand on what you can do, and we got into it a little last time with Alien, you're really able to capture the movie feel now.
And the sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't of it is that it is now the baseline, right? That's the bare minimum of what an integration should be now, which is, it's a tough act to follow for sure.
Yeah, but you guys,
fortunately, we have a few good ideas left.
and the challenge of getting it to function in the game, because I'm sure you could make cutscenes of Chucky and the Xenomorph all day long, but you have to make it function. And so many people were screaming at you guys about Chucky. And fast forward how many months since he's been out? It's honestly, I don't even run into an excessive amount of Chucky's anymore, which goes to show it's healthy for the game still.
Yeah. Well, obviously, when we release something, especially something that is really well received, which is most of the time, but like, you'll see a flood of them, right? You'll play, and for the first week of Chucky, there's nothing but Chucky's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's fine. I think it's understood. But you're absolutely right. The fact that now you play and people are sort of back to their favorites, and there's enough variety that you don't always face the same four, right? It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll always get someone who comes in with, you know, Mr. Bing Bong. He's always going to be there.
And that's the fun part, too, not to get off too much about it, is that you still see... You still see these trappers and the original. There's such a variety, and it is, you do get that landfall of whenever something new comes out, everyone's trying it. But it does level out, and you do still see killers that have been out since the game literally started. You know, and that's a beautiful thing.
But, and I mean, like, you go, like, people are still, Wesker. It's just Wesker all the time. Wesker. It's what, almost 2 years now since that was released. Mm-hmm. So they become the new favorite, but that doesn't take away from anything behind. Like, you still see a lot of Legion. You still see the clown once in a while. Oh, some people play the pig exclusively, right? Like, it's impressive.
It's fun to see. It's fun. Yep. But you do get those nights where it's like, I'm just getting this killer. And it's like, well, you know, that's your bad night of, you know, one, but you play for a week. No, not at all. But, you know, like, it does level out, you know, there's the variety there, and that's hard to do with licenses on top of
it. But I agree that, like, if you get three matches in a row with good nurses, it makes for a tough night.
Yeah. That is a scary thing. A good nurse. I just twitched a little bit. I just got one of those the other night, and it was a bad time.
See, I could never really master that character, but I still think today that it's one of those really impressive ones. When you see someone that's really good as the nurse, it's just so, you feel that sort of hopelessness, the sinking feeling, which is great. It's very horror.
You respect it at the same time. Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah, as not mad even as mad. I am. Not even mad. That's a hard character to play.
Yeah.
And the next thing for the new chapter, though, is Sable. I don't appreciate that you guys left the wedding ring off from me and her, because that is now officially my wife. I don't know if you were aware, Matthew.
I was not aware. Nobody told me about that.
Okay. Her appearance is incredible. She has been... The reception for her has been insane that I've seen. Very popular. And I'm part of it. What was the inspiration behind her? Because she's, you know, the relationship with her and Michaela in the lore, sure, but she's even so much more different than Michaela. What was the thought behind her appearance and the inspiration there?
There's a lot of different things that went into it. But, like, if you boil it down, I think that the sort of like I was talking about tropes earlier, but the trope of the goth girl is mm-hmm. is powerful. It's strong.
Yeah.
Michaela was much more of a witch. This one is a little different in that respect, but still. And one of the things that I really love about that character, and it's maybe it's strange and it's not going to be popular, but the fact that one of our perks, the invocation, to me, like I get, like I saw a lot of posts saying, oh, nobody's ever going to come and sit with you in the basement to finish it. But I think it's so wonderful and beautiful because it's such a crazy idea to create a perk where others can join you in this. And then it, and you sort of do a whole ritual, and it's, I mean, all the, like the craft, all of these movies that inspired that kind of thing and inspired also a generation of got women nowadays and all got girls, although I did marry one.
That's a win.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Matt, I was like, I don't want to bring your personal life into this, no. But I think she fits.
But that's it. And that idea of that perk that creates moments that are so cinematic, that are so inspired. I really, really, really enjoy it. It might not be one of the strongest perks, but I think it has so much flavor and it really tells, it helps tell the story of that character.
Congratulations on your recent marriage too, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. You guys are great.
Thanks. That's very nice to hear.
Oh yeah, the invocation was super fun. It's really nice to have a different way to contribute to your objectives besides just slamming generators. We haven't had a new like perk type since boons were introduced.
That's true.
Do you expect to have the same level of impact as those, or?
It's a good question, and I don't know. It's probably gonna have. Like, I cannot imagine that it's going to be the only one. I think there will be others because it's a really interesting mechanic.
Yes.
I'll leave it at that. I think it's a great new mechanic and we'll definitely try different ones. And it's also, it allows you to make powers that are much more significant because it requires quite a lot of work to get to it. And at the same time, it creates sort of a side quest or a secondary objective to the game, which is great.
And that's the beauty of it, because you mentioned both sides, and I've seen both of them. We have friends who, one of them was yelling that, oh, my teammate's going to be in the basement. And the other one, another friend of ours, used that term. It's like a side quest. Then he wants to see more of it. You know, it's a beautiful thing for the game that stuff like that is blending in.
I think so. But like everything that we release, like the first week is not a good indication of how it's going to, like what shape it's going to have or what place it's going to settle in inside the game, right? We had to give it some time.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of people who will try and break it with, you know, builds. And that's the beauty of it. You don't know what it's going to turn into. And I'm sure from you guys, how many times have you been surprised with mixes of other perks that people figured out?
Well, that's the thing, right? I stopped counting now, but the number of perks, if you imagine that every character can have three perks, all the combinations possible, even just on the side of survivors, like it's I'm not math enough to figure out exactly how many, but there's so many combinations. Like internally, we can't possibly test all the different combinations, right? Like if these four characters are there and they all had these different loadouts, they can actually do this, which are like, oh shit, we hadn't thought of that. The PTB helps a little with that because we throw a lot of people at those new things, but usually it takes month, 2 months, 3 months before we figure out, like, oh, this combo is way too much. That's not going to work. Or we can tweak things. It takes a little while.
Here's another sidebar thing, just because you mentioned it and I've been thinking of it for so long and we have you here. Is there ever a world where you guys will have ever considered releasing a character, whether it be killer or survivor, mostly survivor, And maybe they don't come with perks. Maybe they come with one perk. Are you set to the three perks?
I think we're set in this, but I like we've changed the rules and we've broken most of the rules that we've done every single time we release something new, which is kind of the point.
Right.
I think that between the legendary outfit and the survivor, like we cover enough ground that we don't need like a weaker version of the survivor, which is what I believe would be the comments from people. Like if we released a new survivor and they had only one perk, people would go, well, why are you cheaping out right now? Are you selling it cheaper? Yeah. Like, what's the point? Why is what's happening here? So yeah, I doubt that we're going to do that. Also, there's not much of an advantage to it. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Just always something I've been wondering. No, cause like you said, the
question,
the perk pool is so large, you know, and but I could see that. That's an unfortunate side of it. Yeah.
But that's it. Like in a sense, we could probably make a valid argument saying, you know what, there are enough perks in the game.
Yes.
We don't need to bring in more perks. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Especially if you bring in a brand new friend who's never played DBD, they launch the game and they go, what the hell is all this? Like, there's so much. I don't understand. And then you get into a game and you look at the screen and you go, oh, this guy's got this and this and this. And they go, well, how can you tell? Like, how do you, or like, oh, the icon, right? You can clearly see it's dead hard. And you're like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Like, you're right. You could absolutely make a very compelling argument in saying there are enough perks in the game. But every time we bring in new perks, we do things like, for instance, the invocation is a good example.
Right.
Like, it adds, it helps, it makes the game better and bigger. And it's the, I think that the fact that this whole game lives by the fact that it constantly surprises you. Like, horror is about not being exactly sure who you're up against or what they're bringing to the table or what's going to happen. And by having so many killers, different killers you could be facing, and so many places this could happen in, even though not every map is your favorite, not every map is actually as well balanced as all the others, clearly, because right. There's so many. Not every perk is as useful. It makes so much variety that it is possible to play this game over and over and over again for the next 5 years and be surprised and still be entertained. I think that it's...
Yeah.
In other games, it might not work, but in this one, it does. Because that's the other thing also is you don't need to understand. You don't need to look at the loadout of all the other survivors and understand what they bring to the table. You don't need to. Just do some gens, get out. That's fine.
Yes, I agree. one of our co-hosts is he's a single-player game player traditionally, and we've gotten him into Dead by Daylight. So he is experiencing the starting of Dead by Daylight, and you know we feel the struggles with him, and he's also he jokes about the basement stairs moving because he always finds his way to the basement somehow and gets lost in it somehow.
And that's exactly it, right? It's supposed to be a very familiar place that is still not the way you thought. Right? To me, it's always been the image of like when you dream of this high school you used to go to that you know by heart, but then this door used to be a door that led to, I don't know, science class, and then you open it and it goes down into a basement now. Like it's extremely familiar, but completely unknown at the same time. And so, he's living the dream, rediscovering everything.
Yeah, yeah. You walked right into it. Speaking of the unknown...
Yeah,
this killer's wild. He's crazy. We talked about the found footage aspect earlier, and you think of Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity, maybe, and all these titles. And I had no idea what to expect. And then, boom, we see the unknown, and I still have no idea what to expect. He's because looking at him, it could be anything. It's like, what is that? I know he's named the unknown for a reason, but. what can you say about him? Because there's so many questions flying around.
I can say that even internally, there were a lot of questions about it. And not just during production. Like, are we really going to do this? Like, is he right? Like, is he scary?
He's perfect.
Funny? And like, I think that if you just see a picture of him, like an image, you probably think he'd fit right in and a lineup in the Beetlejuice universe or something like that.
Yes.
Right? He's a little bit of a caricature. He's sort of distended form. But then when he moves and when he's in the game, he's not funny anymore. Like, there's nothing funny about that creature. Is it that guy? I don't know. But he's not funny anymore. He's smiling, but he's not funny. And I think that it hit just the right notes. And it's such a delicate balance to really tackle in the concept and the animation. The animation team did an amazing job on it. It's just, even the power is upsetting, I think. It yes. makes you feel like you should, I don't know, go for a shower after the game.
Watching him break a pallet, I feel that way. It is creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But yeah, it's one of the ones that I'm very happy with. I think that original chapters are always stressful for us. I mean, doing licenses is difficult for many reasons, and we've discussed those at length, but doing original chapters, it's very tough, especially after what, the 15th original chapter. I don't know exactly, but like, we have to create something that is new and surprising, but it also has to hit a lot of notes of expected things in horror, and it can't step on the toes of any of the licenses that we have or that we would like. So it is a very, very delicate balance. And it's a really tough job. But once in a while, I think that, like this chapter, we managed to hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we mentioned earlier, Xenomorph, Chucky, Alan Wake, Nick Cage. I mean, you guys have been coming so heavy lately. Yeah. And now it's your turn to kind of, the ball's only in your court. And it's an original character. And yeah, I think you guys are up to par for sure. This one was in every aspect.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Another, probably even more than my wife, Sable, my favorite part of this release is the map, honestly. And obviously I'm a movie guy, but you know, it's a movie theater, but even past that, the arcade, the functionality of the map, side-by-side palettes, holy shit. What went into the design here from the theater itself, which is beautiful, and then, you know, the gameplay changes with the side-by-side palettes?
Well, I think the short answer is what went into designing this is almost 10 years of designing Dead by Daylight. We've learned a couple of things, and like you said, we did a few licenses in the last few months. And so
a few,
a couple. And so now it was time for us to sort of do our own thing and really showcase when we have 100% freedom, what can we do? Right. And so, it's interesting. You're right. I think that the theater specifically is so well rendered, but also just the lighting of it makes for very interesting bits, and the actual game design itself, when you're talking about the side-by-side palettes, again, it's years and years and years of studying how people play, what makes it interesting, how can we switch things up, how can we force people to reevaluate the metagame, sort of, like, the strategies that you've been living with for the last 2 months, that you're like, nah, I've got this game nailed now, watch me go. And then we sort of throw a wrench in it and force you to develop a brand new way of playing. it's sort of always at the forefront of our concerns when we create new content, whether it's a new killer power or whether it's a map. And I think that in this one specifically, there are a couple of elements that really that surprised people. So yeah, I guess good job. I'm saying that because I didn't work on it. I'm not a level designer, but yeah.
Speaking of it real quick, again, just something I've been wondering in the conversation, is that something we can expect going forward? Like, will maps feature this or is it exclusive here?
If we see that people love it and it's really appreciated and it leads to some really interesting gameplay, and not just like, oh, when there's a side-by-side palette, that's what you do and everybody knows and that's sort of the thing. If it actually leads to variety of strategies and it leads to some interesting moments, you can absolutely bet that there will be other. And if we realize that it's a little boring and people have a ready-made strategy on how to use it, which I doubt, but who knows, then probably we'll tweak it until it's exciting, right? Which is what we usually do. It takes quite a lot for us to throw away something like that. Like we usually strive to make it work, and it's a good idea. Maybe it's just not perfectly balanced. And that's the thing. We won't know until people have played for at least a month on it. We used to react very, very quickly. I remember, I think Freddy, the release of Freddy. I don't know if you were there for that, but
yes.
When we released that, I think we patched like a major tweak a week after. And as we patched it, we went, I don't think we should have done that. Like, because nobody had time to really try it and to really intensely like play with it and see what could be done. We just sort of knee-jerk reacted immediately to the subreddits filling up with people screaming, which is just another Wednesday, right?
It's normal. Yeah, normal now. No, you're right. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Speaking of the new map, Greenville Square is actually a new section opened up in the Withered Isle map. Can we expect other maps to have like expanded sections like that added in future updates?
I don't want to say anything too stupid, but I believe so.
Nice.
And that's a slippery terrain for me to get on, but I believe so.
Okay. That's nice to hear that it's at least a thought, though, because, you know, people's favorite maps and it's just redoing them without reworking them, kind of.
Yeah. And also, I mean, on a purely production side, it's not as difficult to create a variation in an existing map than it is to create a brand new map with a brand new setup and all new assets, right? It's an idea that the producer likes for sure.
Yeah. Okay, here's where I try and get you in a little bit of trouble. Sure. Because I know it's something you can't talk about, but I have to ask. Obviously, the movie is still highly anticipated. I constantly see people talking about it. Jason Blum kind of spiked the charts a little bit recently, where he said that you guys are still looking for a writer, still looking for a director. That was
the status. You're looking for a job?
Yes. Million of ideas for this. Yes, I am. But he said, he said that recently. And last time we spoke, that's kind of where it was left off. Yeah. I want to ask you if there's any update in this, but obviously I know that's a delicate thing.
There is no public update.
Right. Okay. Okay.
We are still all, and I say all of us, is like me and my boss and a couple of other people at Behavior, and then Jason Blum and his team and a few other people at Atomic Monsters. Right. All of these people are still actively pursuing this project right now. And the goal is still to be able to, as quickly as we can, announce a writer or director or writer director or whatever, to tell people this is happening and this is who is going to be spearheading the project. So, yeah, hopefully we have an announcement to make soon.
Well, I know this is, you know, obviously just me, but to counteract your Wednesday Reddit screaming matches a little bit, I don't know why people are getting so mad at this. To rush into anything just to have an announcement and get things started with movies is never the answer. And I applaud you guys for trying to make it right and wait till everything's perfect, because that's the way you need to do it. And, you know, I don't know why people are so mad about it, honestly.
Well, yeah. Well, on the one side, it's like I was talking about the merch earlier. We are not a company that makes movies. So it right. is a world that we are not very familiar with. So we have a lot to learn. Fortunately, we have managed to find a great partner in Blumhouse. They know yes. how to make movies for sure. And they certainly know how to make horror movies. So it's absolutely a good fit in that. And we trust them wholeheartedly. There's one thing, like, this could turn into many, many different things, that project, but there is one thing for sure. We will never allow a bad Dead by Daylight movie to release.
Nice.
We'd much rather scrap it and not have a movie than have something that's not great.
There you go. Yeah. And that's the answer. That's especially with how much you guys have to offer for a movie franchise.
I think there's quite a lot to do there. There's a lot of really right. cool stories to tell. Yeah, I mean, even doing the comic book run, I don't know if you've mm-hmm. had a chance to read the comic book run. I liked it quite a lot. And doing that experience was super fun because it's, like I said, it's another completely different medium to tell our stories. And it was a great learning experience for us. And it's not the end. Like that run worked really, really well with Titan Comics. And comics are a great way to tell stories. So we'll most likely have more.
Nice. That's good to hear as well. One more question I had based on, you know, to regards to the movie. And this is kind of just to maybe put something to rest, because so many people, since this movie was announced, your partnership with Blumhouse, Atomic, a lot of people have been asking, and this is going to influence future DLCs for the game. You know, like Blumhouse has an Unlimited, Megan, Insidious, and then go on forever. Does that partnership with the movie, can it influence, does it have any, you know, any legs for influencing and creating groundwork for DLC content in the future?
I mean, anytime we have a partnership with people who own interesting horror licenses, then clearly we're one step closer to those licenses if we wanted to put them into the game. It's yes. a much simpler thing to pick up the phone and call someone that you know, that you have an established relationship with. It's much easier. So if we wanted to do these things, it's something that would absolutely be within our grasp. The other thing also is, sorry, if we were to release a great Dead by Daylight movie in which some new characters are introduced, it would be kind of silly of us not to then introduce them to the game, right?
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to leave it at that.
There you go. We just had a couple of community questions that we picked out. Some of them, I don't know how you guys do it. The questions that are incredible. But we weeded out some of the ones that aren't a little ridiculous. Sure. I want to start with this one because I feel like my life might be in danger if we don't ask you this question. Friend of our show, of our community, are you familiar with the film Night of the Creeps, by the way, Matthew?
It rings Tom a Atkins? Bell, but I'm not familiar.
Okay, well, this is a friend of our community. Will, his nickname is Will the Thrill, and he has a button on our soundboard from that movie.
Okay,
thrill me.
He wants to know, and he's been asking for landscape of how killers have changed, and even the game has changed since Michael Myers released. Do you guys have any thought or plan or anything on reworking him?
Pass.
Okay, fair enough. Polyester is coming up again. He wanted us to ask you, and this is another one that is probably going to be a pass, but it's a very interesting thought. Are there any plans on more Hellraiser legendary skins, given so many, they have so many Cenobites you could throw in there, and we have a lot of fun with it?
There's no plans today.
Okay. Okay. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't. One of my favorite things in the world is Paulie going off on Dino DeWitt's tail. It's one of my favorite things. Where's the tail? Why don't we have the tail in BC? What happened to it? His rants on this are legendary.
Yeah, I know. I have no idea. I'd have to ask. I'm not that's not under my jurisdiction, but okay. I can ask some people. We'll do a deep dive.
A deep dive into the tail department. Nice. I am a Dino Dweet main, so I have a little skin in that game as well. I do miss the tail. We only really have like two more questions here.
All right.
Another friend of the community, Dweet, they brought up a great question. That in this newest chapter, All Things Wicked, Sable is using a flip phone. And this could indicate that her and Michaela's story begins in the 90s, early 2000s. Is there any validity to that?
It could also indicate a nostalgia for that period, which is also not unheard of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be my answer.
Okay. Another question from a friend of our show, Kate, big Dead by Daylight player. The report system, and I feel like this is important because a lot of people throw this around. It was very big that you guys implemented that. And so many people, you either get people who say, oh, report them and it'll help, or you get the people who say it does nothing. And I think, like I said, I think it was very important that you guys put this in the game. Could you maybe explain how you guys handle that a little?
This is a question for our player experience team. I don't want to say anything stupid. What I can say with absolute certainty, though, it does actually have an impact. It does matter quite a lot to report people. It's true that you may be reporting someone for something and you might not see an immediate result, but it doesn't mean it is useless to do so. We have a thing that actually tells people if their reporting actually led to something. I think in most cases, we also use that. But either way, do report things that you see that are worthy of that. It has an impact. It is absolutely something that we look at. We dig into it. We go and get, we obviously have tools so that we can get a lot more information about what exactly happened. And when we are certain that someone has acted poorly or that something needs to be done, we take action for sure. Yes.
Okay.
So yes. Continue to use the reporting. You are helping make the game environment better.
Nice. The last question that we had was, Sable has voice lines, which, you know, a lot of people didn't expect. Original character, you don't see that too often. Is there any thought into going back and maybe retroactively doing that with killers, survivors? Is there any interest there?
There is interest, but again, it's the fact that there are so many at this point, right?
Right.
And where do you start? Do you start from first one and do the trapper and give him some voice lines, or do you start, you know, back from the most recent ones? And if we do that, then we're not working on the next content, because obviously it's the same people. We can't add more people just to go and do voices for the other ones. And especially because voice work is something that's difficult to do in parallel and do 27 at the same time, right? It's voice actors, it's recording booths, it's intensive work. So, it is. Yes, there have absolutely been conversations about that and the possibility of it. I think it's unlikely. What's most likely to happen is that we're going to continue to do that in the future for the upcoming chapters, for more of the content that we create, to give people more and more rich experiences, and then the original ones like the trapper and the, you know, the wraith and the hillbilly will continue to live on in not in black and white, but in the world of nostalgia.
Yes. And that's a beautiful thing too. Matthew, thank you so much for your time today, man. It's always a pleasure and a blast. It's,
seriously, Ode doesn't have to convince me much when she says that that Slasher Radio wants to talk. I'm always going to be here. It's super fun. I really appreciate you being part of the constructive side of our community, and I really appreciate what you do.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. And I'm glad, Allie, you didn't fall asleep, did you?
No, did not fall asleep this time.
Wow. Hello. I'll take it as a compliment. And I expect you to poke again so that we can sit and talk, let's say, after the anniversary when we drop the mic on a few really cool news and we can chat about that.
Absolutely. Ooh, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Yeah, looking forward to it already. Thanks, guys. Wonderful. Have a great rest
Thank
of your
you
day.
Guys so much. Bye.
All right.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that. Apparently, we will be back with Matthew in May or June for the anniversary. That's dope, Allie. I'm looking forward to that already.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But you can listen to Slasher Radio every single week. It won't be on YouTube. We're going to be trying to get clips from the show up on here. But you can listen on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, all these other places. You can check the links in the bio and stuff. Just search Slasher Radio. You'll be able to find it. 1, 2, 3. We're actually just starting our Murder Madness tournament. That's a March Madness bracket style tournament. This year we are doing quadrants, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s horror movies. They're all facing off on this bracket to crown one winner. So that's starting later this week. You can follow the show on Twitter at Slasher Radio. And also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/slasherradio. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Support the show, please. You can check me out at Mikey's Dead on Twitter. You can check out my co-hosts, Rob and Kat, at Radio Rob 123 and at Kat_Velour on Twitter. Allie, where are they catching you?
You can find me at Allie Surreal on Twitter or Twitch.
And Movie Nights and Discords on Fridays, huh?
Yep. Yeah, we do those.
Yeah, you do those. Horror movies. Horror B movies.
Ugh. Yes, specifically.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Also, check out our friends. Allie has a great community on her Discord. That's where a good amount of these people come from. So great community. Go check out her Discord. You can check out our Discord. Also, check out our friends. They're great content creators. These are some people who are really grinding right now, putting out great content. Check out our friend Huff and Puff.
You like that?
At Huff and Puff on Twitch. Huff is a very dear friend of the show, and his stream is a great time. You will laugh your ass off. You will interact with him, which will be a lot of fun. And the loops that the dude's a juicer. The loops are crazy. And honestly, just one of the most entertaining people I've ever met, and genuine good dude. So he should be at the top of your list if you haven't checked out Huff and Puff already. Our friend Duke Ride, that is Will the Thrill.
Thrill me.
His YouTube channel is at Duke Ride, D-O-O-K-R-I. A lot of great horror content, a lot of deep dives, really good stuff over there.
A lot of horror gaming content.
Yeah. Another, I guess, friend of the show. You can find her on Twitch at its_Kate11. She puts in a lot of DBD time on Twitch, so make sure you go follow her, check her out. She also has a redeem on her channel called Hands Off, where she has to take her hands off of her keyboard immediately for 10 seconds. And if you time that sumbitch just right, you're going to have yourself a good time. So head over, go tell Kate I said she sucks, and be sure to use that Hands Off channel point redeem and tell her it was from me. I'd appreciate that a lot. Crescent dude, our friend Cressy. Everybody loves Cressy.
Everybody love Cressy.
Everybody love Cressy. Crescent Dude 85 on Twitch. Another friend of the show, Straying Bats. You can check them out on Twitch. And Somber OW. These guys always help throughout the process. They just show so much support and friendship above all else. And their communities are great. Their content is great. We wouldn't be telling you guys checking it out if it wasn't. All these people work really hard. They have a lot of passion for what they do.
They put a lot of work into what they do. Highly entertaining, highly insightful, and just a lot of stuff you guys need to keep on your radar. So be sure to check them out. Also, Ali Stream is great. Dead by Daylight streamer for a long time. I like to call her the encyclopedia of Dead by Daylight. And you're just never going to get the experience of Dead by Daylight that you get on one of Ali's streams. You have to see it for yourself. So definitely do not forget to check out at Ali Surreal on Twitch. So if you find a little time, be sure to check them out. Also, big thanks to Polyester and Schmuckles for all their support. Everybody knows about them, but their support to us means a lot. Also, Dweet on Twitter, DVVEET. They always show us a lot of support as well.
I don't appreciate Polly bullying me, though.
Oh, I appreciate Polly bullying you immensely. Yeah, that Polly, keep that up for sure. This is supposed to be a quick outro, but Polly, I just want you to know, because I know that you're listening, you have a button on my soundboard.
Don't you have an interview to fall asleep during again? Wait a minute.
God damn it.
That didn't actually happen, though, right?
Yeah, right. It did. It did.
Not.
While we're bullying Ali, Schmuckles has one, too.
It's the girl who fell asleep on Matthew Carradine. No way.
God damn it.
No way. But yeah, their support means the world to us, and they're great content creators. And, you know, just to share the space, and especially talking about the same game, is really dope for us. Even Otstarva, he shouted us out a little bit in one of his videos. So that was really cool, him as well. But keep up with Slasher Radio on all our platforms. If you're a horror fan, this is the show for you. Until we do this again in May or June. Good night from Slasher Radio.
Heidi ho.
Heidi ho.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.